He looked across to where JB was reconning the area, and their eyes met in the gloom. Dean picked up a piece of metal tubing and held it so that JB could see it. The armorer knew what the boy intended to do. With an overarm throw, the young cotter tossed the metal tube into the air, scribing an arc that took in most of the length of the building before clattering on a workbench and piece of machinery, then rolling noisily across the floor before coming to a halt against the far wall. It was followed by total silence. There was no sound, no sudden reaction of blaster fire, nothing to suggest that anyone else was in the building. JB looked across at Dean and made a motion with his arm, indicating that they take the sides of the building, staying close to the walls to give themselves protection. At the drop of JB's hand, they ran down the sides of the building, taking each aisle and indented position where an enemy could hide with a combat stance, ready to fire first and ask questions later. They reached the end of the building in less than 30 seconds. It was empty. The second building was connected by a corridor and then a covered walkway. JB and Dean stopped by the doorway.
I'll take it first. You cover me.
JB nodded, and the boy weaved his way down the narrow walkway to the far door, while the armorer covered him with the Uzi, set to rapid fire. Again, it was silence. Dean assumed a secure position at the far end and took guard as JB ran down the walkway to join him.
Same as before.
JB nodded, and they repeated their procedure for the second building. It, too, was empty. As they walked back through the buildings, still on triple red in case a hidden intruder should have evaded them, JB wondered if there was really anyone there at all. It was a question that Mildred and Jack were also asking themselves. It took them a little longer to get to the far buildings, which were of a different shape. Where the ones that JB and Dean investigated were rectangular, these were square buildings, and were the two main pump houses for the whole refinery site. Which meant that there was little cover inside. The open doorways showed once more that oil lamps supplied the only lighting, and the interior was deathly quiet as Mildred and Jack stood on either side of the first door.
Me first. Cover.
Mildred nodded, her ZKR ready to provide cover as the albino sprang into action. Jack was through the door in a blur, his red eyes adapting to the gloom with ease, in fact preferring the lower level of light to the desert sun outside. There was little cover afforded by the inside of the building, as large piston-driven pumps took up the majority of the space. The good thing about this was that if it afforded little cover for Jack, then it would also afford scant cover for anyone else who was still in the pump house. Jack found himself a niche in a space between two piston housings and took up a covering position. Mildred saw him settle in, then followed into the building, flattening herself to the wall and crouching as she sought cover. It was obvious that the pump house was empty, but they double-checked, with Mildred covering Jack, while the wiry albino hunter combed every crevice within the walls. He drew a blank and returned to her, shaking his head.
Next one.
Unlike the buildings that JB and Dean had investigated, the two pump house buildings weren't connected by a walkway or corridor, and there was only the one door in and out. So Mildred and Jack had to leave and traverse the side of the building they had just investigated before reaching the other. They took it in relay turns, one covering the other and using any cover available until they had moved across the short distance between the two pump houses.
Same as before?
Jack gave her a brief nod, his stringy white hair snaking across his scarred face, red eyes glinting through, before disappearing through the doorway as Mildred swung around to provide cover with her ZKR. They repeated the procedure and found this building also empty.
If Plant in Place X, then in Ryan's place.
Back at the system of pipes that traveled the distance between the well and the refinery, Ryan, Christie, and Doc were dividing up the territory. There was nowhere to hide within them, as they weren't housed in buildings, standing open in the sun. But they could provide cover for anyone who wanted to stand surveillance on whoever may come along the pipe system. So the open nature of the ground left Ryan, Christie, and Doc with a problem. Wreck it without being an open target. The only good thing was that by the same token, anyone who may be opposing them would have the same problem.
Doc, you take the route from the outbuildings to the tanks.
As he spoke, the one-eyed man used his Sig Sauer to indicate the nearest set of buildings, which were just about to be scoured by JB and Dean. Doc nodded briefly at that, understanding that Ryan had given him the nearest point to begin, as he was slower than the others. Ryan switched the point of the six-hour barrel to the far buildings and indicated the point where Jack and Mildred were about to enter their wrecked position.
Christy, you take the pipe system from that point. We work our way toward the tanks. I'll take it from there.
He indicated a third position out to the farthest side from the refinery buildings, where the pipes came from the derrick. It was the greatest distance, and also the most open.
Okay, lover. We meet at the storage tanks and stay calm. In that tangle of metal, we don't want to make any mistakes, right?
Yeah, that would be kind of embarrassing, at the very least. One more thing. Let's just try and hold back on the blaster fire unless necessary. These pipes will ricochet. And I don't think Baron Silas here will thank us for ripping holes in his system, when that's what we're supposed to be stopping.
Ryan looked over at the Baron, who with his sec man was standing against the wag, allowing the one-eyed man to take control. Just as though it were a test, which in a sense it was. Their first real test for Baron Silas Hunter. Ryan glanced back to Doc, who was cradling his Lamar percussion pistol ruefully.
I shall endeavor, my dear Ryan, to refrain if necessary. Then I shall use the ball alone. After all, the shot would cause more damage, although that is, of course, its primary intent.
Just stay triple alert, triple red, and keep moving as fast as possible, just in case there are any fuckers hiding among all that metal.
The trio parted to begin their search. Doc moved toward the nearest buildings, half running to conserve energy under the hot sun. He could hear the movement of Dean and JB within the building, but as attuned as they all were to the sounds of one another, he could tell that they had so far found nothing, and so could devote all of his attention to traversing the pipes. The metal was dull and dusty, but still acted as a conductor to the heat, and as soon as Doc moved into the snaking maze of pipes, he could tell that the heat had increased. It was an oppressive, dull, and heavy heat that seemed to weigh down upon his brow, making him sweat harder and forcing a band of pressure around his forehead, making his skull ache and his eyes seem heavy and unfocused. Pausing and shaking his head to try to clear it, Doc began his wreck of the pipes. Treading softly, and with his eyes darting glances to each side, he moved slowly along the middle of the narrow dirt path that had been formed between the pipes, presumably for the purposes of maintenance access. The pipes ran in stories of two or three, and were supported by large metal brackets that held them together. Between the pipes, there was little space with which to see on either side. They twisted and turned rather than running straight. Doc presumed that this was to give them a greater overall running distance and allow whatever processes were taking place in the refinery to settle in the precious liquid before it reached the storage tanks. Right now, all it did was make life harder for Doc. There were a few blind bends on the way, and he slowed as he came to them, straining his eyes and ears for the slightest sign of movement. But there was nothing. In some ways, he would gladly have welcomed some action. It would have been a relief to nerves stretched almost to the breaking point. The heat and the unending vista of dull and dust-encrusted metal began to get oppressive, and Doc found himself getting unaccountably angry. Why was he doing this? Why were they enthralled to an idiot cowboy who wanted to rebuild a technology that had taken him from his home and placed him in two futures that had prematurely aged him and taken his sanity? Why? Doc stopped suddenly, frozen to an almost uncanny stillness by a sound. It was getting nearer. Soft footsteps, but in a familiar rhythm. Very familiar. Doc looked up instead of around. The towers of the storage tank stood almost before him. He allowed himself a small smile. The footsteps were those of Christy. Like Doc, the woman had found the heat within the reflective surfaces of the pipes to be oppressive. Her hair coiled close to her neck with a combination of sweat and moody scents. Not exactly danger, but more an acute awareness that she was not at her best in this kind of atmosphere, so she had to exercise more caution. Which she did, her flashing green eyes rapidly scanning the area around, taking in, as Doc had, the gaps between the brackets and stories of pipes. She moved fastidiously, her silver-tipped boots making little noise on the densely packed dry earth, throwing up little clouds of dust around her ankles. She held her Smith & Wesson Model 640 blaster, its 38 caliber shells capable of blowing away anyone who would try to jump her. But she was unwilling to use it in such a confined area, and would rather rely on her strength and suppleness in hand-to-hand combat if it came to it. Which it might, she reflected, as the enclosed space would make it hard for any attacker to use a blaster without endangering themselves. She just wished it weren't so claustrophobic. an oppression increased by the heat that seemed to beat off the metal pipes in waves and hit her around the head, making her eyes swim with a shimmering haze. And that tapping and shuffling, was it for real, or was it her imagination? It was real.